in the workplace. So in my current role, I'm a leader of leaders, and that has matured over the last 5 years or so. But really knowing, understanding, listening to, connecting with people through, I'm going to call it the coach toolbox. It's someone like me even is struggling for the right words. It's priceless of how differently you can be there for and with people. And I needed that. If I go back to the first thing I said, I needed to go through the coaching journey in order to build or even recognize the importance of those things.
Welcome to the UpLevel Podcast, the podcast that makes our world a healthier, more alive, and connected place to be. After listening, you'll have practical tools you can start using right away to uplevel the world around you. We're your hosts, Christy Mann and Rachel Baldy. Let's uplevel now.
Welcome, uplevelers. So we are in this season of the ROI of coaching in the workplace. And my guest today has so much wisdom to bring to us on this topic. I'm going to read his bio and then bring him into the conversation. Vimal Shyamji is a leadership coach and the senior manager of global recruiting for Google Cloud Platform. He currently leads a matrix org of 200 plus individuals supporting the hyper growth of Google's cloud business. Prior to that, he led global recruiting for Google Pixel, including the integration of a 2,000 person acquisition in Taiwan. And before moving to the Bay Area 7 years ago, he worked for recruitment firms, moving from Tennessee to Boston to Los Angeles, building teams in tech, finance, and manufacturing. He initially attended Lee University with a plan to teach high school math before pivoting to obtain a degree in business administration with a minor in theology. Welcome to the UpLevel Podcast, Vimal. So happy to have you here with us.
Thank you, Christy. It's really nice to be here.
Okay. I have to start with the last sentence from your bio, because I did not know this about you. A minor in theology and a school math teacher. You certainly pivoted.
I think that sums up a lot of my life and career. Pivot. What's this guy going to do next? kind of like it. The theology, I didn't know this when I chose the college. It was at the time a requirement at Lee University. Whatever your major was, you minored in theology in addition to that. And if you had another minor in mind, you added theology to that list as well.
And so how has theology and math supported you in your role as a leader, a people manager in these organizations that you've worked in?
I didn't expect that, but that's a good one. So theology, fascinating that it dovetails into one of the beliefs as coaches that all people are naturally creative, resourceful, and whole. In my belief system, seeing the unique, wonderful, significant design of each individual human and what they're capable of, those things dovetail really nicely for me. Math, complex relationship. that happened, and how I went to school thinking I was doing that was the pleaser was in full control of the life. And I was brought up in a culture of, if you really want to do good in the world, there's a few different paths you can choose. And teaching was right up there towards the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And math in particular, why I say complex, was as a young person, the only place I felt smart was when I did math. I was better at it than my peers. And I felt like with that gift comes responsibility. I could prove that I was right, which mattered for someone that was insecure. What's fascinating is in leadership and in the workplace, it's actually been letting go of that feeling of feeling smart or right or proving myself that has helped me, I think, define more health and flourishing.
So cool. Thank you for this context of what got you to this moment. And you're doing incredible things in your career and working inside cutting edge organizations, doing important things in our world. I want to go back to, I'm calling it BC, before coaching, like before you personally were introduced to it, whether, and I want to hear how you were introduced to it, whether it was through training or you were being coached by somebody, a manager or a professional coach. And then after AC, after coaching, like give us a little insight into your journey around that. BC to AC.
I love how you framed the question, and I'm smiling real big because I knew nothing about coaching, except there was one person I worked with almost 20 years ago who left the recruiting industry to become a coach. If that person happens to hear this, I think you might know who you are, but didn't know that person very well. Haven't talked to them in 20 years and never encountered another coach besides that for my own use, for that person coaches, but I don't get coached. And I was a legit prejudiced hater. I had this definition, and why I use the word prejudice, based on no real information, that coaches were mostly middle-aged washouts, didn't know what else they wanted to do. They thought they were better than the rest of us, and they were willing to come down from their ivory towers and enlighten we simpletons. Wow. I have no idea where the hell all that baggage came from, but that's the story I told myself. So fast forward, 2019. Here at Google, the amazing Kayvon Tucker was here at the time, and he spun up a group of 19 of us that were called Courageous Coaches to take the CTI Fundamentals course where I met you. And I had all that baggage still at that point, but I liked Kayvon, and my knee-jerk instinct said, well, this guy's into it. Let's go see what happens.
Get a shot.
And It changed my life. And I don't use that word lightly. I think people throw that one around. The distinction between coaching, mentoring, sponsoring, developing was completely unknown to me. The centering on the individual and not the problem or the context, like, struck a chord with me that, like, oh yes, dear, this is what I've wanted to do. I wanted to grow and develop and lead people, but I wanted to do it from the center of who they are, not their context or what it is that they want to do specifically.
So the theologist coming through there.
There it is. So for those of you that haven't experienced it, I mean, I understand why it feels a little culty, but like I'm a believer now. It's I have worked with my coach for years now, and I keep waiting for that moment where I'm like, oh, I'm fixed. I don't need this anymore. But that's not the case for me. And I'm really, really grateful that coaching found me.
Well, I've been observing you since that time, 2019, and specifically like through the ethers of LinkedIn. And What I've noticed is, one, you're a great writer. You write really well, and you're bringing in real-time guidance and stories related to leadership and life and coaching. So this is like getting to the AC part, which you've given us a little highlight, but how has coaching, like you said, it transformed you. How has it transformed you?
Yeah. There are leaders that are coach-like that I would say life and work and families of origin and other things have shaped to be really effective level two, level three listeners. For those that aren't familiar with that vernacular, you know, just listening for what's underneath is how I'd paraphrase that. I was not one of those people. I was too busy wanting to feel right, to feel good. So I struggled with that uncertainty, and coaching gave me the scaffolding to really sit in those moments. I also used to live in the language of positive and negative emotions. And I told myself that I was managing the quote unquote negative emotions of anxiety or fear or stress or worry or whatever. But I wasn't managing, I was ignoring, I was suppressing. And what that made difficult is in the workplace and in my own life, individually, as well as with my families and faith community and all that good stuff, is there's this distance between me and these precious, precious moments where they were rich with emotion. And in some percentage of the case, you know, these quote unquote negative emotions. And so it opened up like a whole different universe. And now, having gone through that journey, transformation, to use your word, like being able to do that with other people and open up that whole different way of being and experiencing humanity.
So just that.
Just that. Yeah, just that. You know, it's funny. I know you're teasing a bit, but you know, on a practical matter, I do want to speak to it as well. That also in the workplace. So my current role, I'm a leader of leaders, and that has matured over the last 5 years or so. But really knowing, understanding, listening to, connecting with people through, I'm going to call it the coach toolbox. It's someone like me even is struggling for the right words. It's priceless of how differently you can be there for and with people. And I needed that. If I go back to the first thing I said, I needed to go through the coaching journey in order to build or even recognize the importance of those things.
So AC, after coaching, it's really developed your self-awareness, your emotional resiliency, your emotional intelligence, and your ability to listen deeply, to connect to the person, not just the work that they're doing. So let's talk a little more brass tacks. How has this translated into business results?
Yeah. There's a few people that know the story, but I'll start with the first tangible application was back in 2020. I was voluntold to go do a different, harder job when we had no idea what was coming in terms of the pandemic and lockdown. And I had two kids that were going to be home for the next seemingly forever. And in leading up to that transition, I had the good benefit at that point to have been working with a coach. And what we spent felt like north of a month on was, who is the person that you want to show up in this new context? He's going to have a brand new team in a cultural moment that none of us could have imagined. And we set and identified values and principles that I wanted to show up with for this team, for this organization that eventually would scale from 4 people to over 100 people, where when we came together, how we came together, how we worked was according to the principles that at some degree I laid out. And so we established those. I led with those from meeting one, and then we anchored back to those over and over and over again. And so that 4 to 100 happened over the course of 3.5 years. But those principles and values, and what I think about as tent poles, remained true and resonant. And how they showed up were people were connected in a way that I've never experienced as a leader, to themselves, the work, their well-being, in these, like, I hope it doesn't sound like visions of grandeur, but in like these magnificent ways, is that people could accomplish exceptional results, but from a place of wellness, not from a place of like compulsion and stress and anxiety. Now, 2023 has been a whole different ballgame, and there's certainly some of the latter that's very present. But my friend Christy, I mean, we had a great run where none of that was there and the results were spectacular. And I think, I know that had I not been working with a coach, I wouldn't have been able to come in with that level of grounding and awareness and that value set and how to communicate it and then how to come back to it.
So important. And I just, people are going to hear it in your voice, but I got to see it in your eyes, how moved you are about like remembering those moments, like those times. It's not just in our career, it's in our life where we're at a peak performance, right? And what I hear is that because you invested in yourself and the organization also invested in you, you had a partner to help you have the right tools, the right resources. So you showed up grounded every day in an ungrounded situation where most people were probably feeling super ungrounded and were able to bring a sense of stability. So yes to that. Like that's the part of the big part of the business case right there. And I think, you know, we need to contextualize this. In the past 4 years, the unprecedented amount of constant crisis, chaos, and change that all humans are experiencing on the planet. So as a people manager, talk about a learning curve. You know, we used to be able to step over people's emotions in the workplace. We used to be able to just be like, this is my work self. This is my home self. But all of that keeps getting blown apart and just the silos are coming down. Mm-hmm. So what is, you've talked about some of the tools you use, but what's a coaching skill you use on the daily during these uncertain and wild times on planet Earth?
The first one that came to mind was actually what you just saw, which was an exhale and a breath. I was actually talking to my sister today. She texted me first thing this morning and she was all geared up for a job interview this afternoon. And we were practicing and she was stressed out and nervous. And two or three times I told her, just come back to your breath. And that's not unique to coaching, but coaching did allow me to have what I think about as the structure and the space to identify which tool is going to get me through this particular season. And I'll name something, Christy, because a lot of what you said, if those that have been following my writing and paying attention this year get the most thoughtful check-ins from so many people after I write, especially something that signals like, hey, we all right over there? And I want to name 2023 has been the hardest year of my life. Not the worst, but the hardest. In some ways, the worst. And a little bit of a tangent to your question, but that's me, is how will you meet that moment? How will you get through that moment? How will you help others get through that moment? And some of the most life-giving moments I've had this year are sharing space with people that have just been laid off, walking through some awful personal, professional things, whether it be with myself or with other people. And I just don't want to even comprehend how folks that don't have a qualified professional and a sacred space to figure out, okay, I've got this thing, you name it, whatever just came to your mind or heart, and I can't fix it. Or if I can, it's going to take a long time. And how will I, or how will I help someone else move through this thing? And it feels especially relevant in a world, Christy, where I don't talk to anyone who's like, it's going to be great 3 months from now, 6 months from now. Everything's going to be fixed. All the world's problems will be behind us and we'll just be able to continue on. That's not coming. That's not happening. So how will you face it? How will you help others face it?
Yeah. So I hear you're asking these super profound, powerful questions, right? They're short, 7 words or less. They're open-ended. It's curious. And it's about the person, not the problem. Yeah. And this is what you're talking about. Your coach tapped into your values, which those type of questions do. And I think that's just a great example. It's needed more so than ever that leaders need to really uncover what is important to me. Why am I here in this moment? How can I serve? Because it's not just about getting the work done anymore. It really isn't. So when you talked about BC before coaching, you did talk about that you were really skeptical. You have had a lot of judgment of coaching and coaches, and that you valued solving problems. That was a lot of how you built your identity. Yeah. So I don't even know what the question is here, but I know that there's so many people who haven't yet gone on that journey of like accepting that I bring more value as a people manager, as a leader, as a human, when I help others solve versus be the solver myself. So what wisdom can you give us around that journey of shifting the mindset?
Yeah. Where you left off is perfect, actually. So there's a couple of things. I think solving the problem yourself, or even solving the problem through and with people, is largely possible for some periods of time without the level of value alignment, emotional awareness, connectedness that you saw a few minutes ago. I think where the problems come in is I've never seen it sustained. You know, leaders that accomplish results individually or collectively without any of those things, people burn out, they burn out. You do it from a place of deficiency often, or impulse, not from a place of well-being and strength and health. In contrast to that, when you arrive at people, at business challenges, at situations, again, both as an individual, human, leader, manager, husband, father, friend, or as a collective, it's almost this like magic of, you see people approaching the same problems with their full selves and understanding, I will approach this problem from a place of wholeness, from a place of creativity, from a place of strength. And that enables that sustained performance. You know, not only if it's being mistranslated, were these people exceptionally productive, but they were happy and balanced and aligned, and they felt good about what it is they were doing at the same time. And that might be sometimes the biggest corporate lie, is to achieve remarkable results. Like, people burn themselves to the ground and, you know, they work a million hours and they're stressed out and they're frustrated and they're this. It doesn't have to be that way, in my experience. Maybe I got lucky. I don't think that's the case. I think when you tap into people's true reservoirs of who they are and what they're able to do, and they feel accepted, seen, and understood, yeah, the important stuff takes care of itself in some meaningful way too. It's not at expense of.
What do you say to the manager that might be listening to this? Because they're curious, maybe they did a coaching course and they're like, oh, what do you say to them in this moment?
I laugh because it's all questions from us coaches, right? But what I would say to them is this good enough for you? Is whatever you're accomplishing, however you're doing it, is it good enough for you? That is probably one of the things that I've realized the most as a superlative over these last 4 years, is a lot of people who come into the world of coaching, they're meeting someone else's standard already and they're fine. Someone will say, just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, you had 4 or 5 people burn out, 6 or 7 people did well, whatever the math is. But yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. It's working. But is that good enough for you? Is that what you want? Is that what you, when you look back at the previous 5, 10, 15 years, your whole career, and you look back and you think it was good enough for them? I don't think people want to do that. And if you've got a little bit of that, I'm not loving this. It's not great. No one's yelling at me. I'm not in trouble. In fact, I'm being rewarded even, but I don't think this is it. Okay, then now what?
So then sign up for a coaching course or get a coach, because this is where you can start to really harness change and be of service to the folks that you're working with. So it's not just about managing, it's actually about leading. Like, this is what I'm hearing in everything you've shared, is this modality allowed you to move from manager to leader, to point conversations, you know, to really help people connect their values and their mission and purpose to the work, so that they keep showing up, but they show up resourced rather burnt out. I mean, yeah. Okay, so then what about to the critics who, you know, this whole bring your whole self to work? You know, they're still not ready to. What does that mean for you when you say, like, now I can bring my full self, or I inspire my team to bring their full self? What does that mean to you?
Yeah. I like that you asked about me, because I do think it means different things to different people. For me, it means don't be performative. If you have a value for efficiency and someone is treading on it, you figure out a way to name it and to get it out there and to design a working relationship with someone that says, I care about what we're doing and how we're doing it. And can we talk about this? Instead of pretending, instead of, you know, when I name performative, acting like something doesn't matter when it truly does, there's a value that's being tread on. And from a practical perspective, you can't have a list a mile long. You know, there's got to be a couple of things where you say, this is important to me. I show up with it and it matters. And I will design working relationships with people that are my peers, people that are junior to me, people that are senior to me, to make sure this is regarded. And I think you can do that practically in the working world. If you understand what those things are and you have the courage to work with those around you to make sure that happens. So I don't know. That's what it means to me.
Yeah. I love that. That's a really helpful distinction, because for some folks, it might mean like bringing all their emotions and all of their personal stories. And I think that can, people get still, they're just like not ready for that, you know, mm-hmm. and there is, a dance between, as leaders, as coaches, how much of our personal self we bring in. But I love the lens you're looking at this. It's bringing your whole self is really bringing your true self. Mm. So you're not pretending this is my professional self and I'm going along to get along, but it's like, actually, you know what? How that went down doesn't really work for me. You've got the courage and the groundedness to have a tough conversation, to educate people on what's important to you, to get curious about what's important to them. All really important for wholeness.
Yeah.
How
you brought up something I want to name there too, which is, I think those of us that struggle with self-advocacy or self-care think this more convenient, filtered, I would name watered down version of myself is really what my boss or my skip level or whoever wants. And I think it's an important journey for us to walk down of when the world experiences my most powerful, true self. That's what they need. They don't need the former. They need the latter. But that takes courage, and that's a journey for folks to go on. I know I had to go on that journey myself.
There's a lot of conditioning that people need to work through around that. And I think what I was wanting to ask you next is around how coaching supports with diversity, equity, and inclusion, because coaching does help people to bring more of themselves, but culture, in some cultures, that it's just, that's just not the way it's done. So in your experience, how does coaching really support diversity, equity, and inclusion in equitable ways?
Yeah. In a lot of ways, I, at a baseline as both coach and as client being coached, when I talked about the breath before, the skill and muscle of slowing down and noticing is it gets into overdrive and it kind of stays there. It's this virtuous flywheel. So through the lens of diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging is when I'm interacting with someone that comes from a completely different place, be it in the world, be it from a place of confidence, self-love, how they communicate, what they say, what they don't say. Do I, as a leader, do others around me have the ability, the care, to slow down and notice? Oh, I don't think this person is articulate. Is that true? Wow, this person seems to be really struggling with confidence. Well, what does confidence need to look like? And in a real tangible way, one of the ways where I have benefited so greatly as a leader from being coached is bringing those assumptions and those theories to, you know, my boss is this, or this person is that way, or these people are, And is that true? Someone truly challenging that and playing with it and saying, well, what else might be true? And what if this was true? And then all of a sudden, there's a whole different world out there with, oh, wow, confidence can look like this, not this. You know, name the skill set. Problem solving can look like this, not this. Raising your hand can look like this, not this. And they're all in support of that. Slow down and notice, and then not tolerate, not deal with differences, but celebrate, draw out, magnify that. Thank God you have diverse perspectives from people that don't do it your way.
I love this. I think you're speaking so much to the coaching mindset, that the coaching mindset is to be curious. And it's to know that there's many perspectives, like many ways you can look at one thing or one person or one thing that happened. And it's allowing for that exploration. So I'm appreciating how in your experience, it's brought more belonging and it's allowed for more inclusion. It's like, can I get on your team right now? I want to work for you. I want to work with you.
That's very sweet. Yeah.
So what's a highlight, a coaching highlight that feels really important in our conversation today, just to put out in this episode?
Yeah. I'll give two. The first will be me as client. The second will be me as coach. So me as client, I've written this and I've never shared it out, but early in the pandemic, one of the things that I struggled with in my family was I, in hindsight, had buried my head in the sand. I was like, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this in like 3-6 months. We're going to be fine. It's not that scary and it's not that bad. And that's the certainty that I was holding on to because that's what felt like I needed. My wife is a healthcare worker and had been stocking the bunker for many months. She saw it come in January somehow. And yet one of the hardest moments in the summer of 2020 was her level of anxiety meeting my level of optimism. And I know it might sound insane for people thinking, how in the world were you optimistic then? But that was kind of what was getting me through. That was the story I was telling myself. And I will not forget the coaching session where I was talking to my coach about how it was driving me nuts that we were transferring food from takeout containers to plates at the edge of our property, as if there was like a barrier for like germs cannot cross here. And so that's what we'll do. And, you know, wiping down groceries with sanitizing wipes. And it wasn't like I thought any of these things were dumb, but they were such at odds with this clinging of certainty. And we did something in coaching that we called perspective taking. And the perspective that we landed on was every time that impulse would like, why are we doing this? Came up, it was replaced with, she's doing this because she loves us. Mm. Because she was trying to protect her family and she was seeing danger and risk and awful things in the world. And it took a area of constant tension in my marriage and shifted it to a moment of connection that happened. You know, those of us that have lived through this, that happened all day. It wasn't like it was like once a day. It was like 6-7 times a day. I'd have this good, she's doing this because she loves us. And it, I don't know if I wasn't working with someone and I couldn't unpack this and they couldn't take me through these steps, what would have happened? So that's me. There's many, many such moments like that one, but that one resonates.
And then pull that out as the highlight, like coaching allowed you to consciously choose your mindset, consciously choose over and over again, a more resourceful mindset perspective so that you could move through that time and support your relationship and your family unit, which absolutely, of course, then supports your workplace because wherever we go, there we are.
100%. Thank you for naming that. And you know, that's one of those examples that I've shared with a handful of people that are like, you know, what is coach? Do I need coaching? Well, how would I benefit from coaching? Yeah. Where I don't say lightly. Well, if like every relationship in your life is perfect and you're just like walking on cloud nine, yeah, maybe you're good.
You're good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But if not, what topic, what relationship, what thing will you bring into this space that it should be unlike any other space you have? And you go and do some work and you see if you come out better on the other side, which I always do. It's a range of a couple of, but men in particular come to me for coaching through what I call the doorway of, I want to be better at my job. And what often happens is it's the relationship to the work, not the topic itself. And there's been one client in particular, but a couple that came to coaching with the, I want to be a more emotionally intelligent manager. And we've spent almost all of our time on over, I think we're at dozens of sessions now, is how to be more emotionally connected, period. And what's in service of that? What prevents that? And it's many sessions that have had some flavor of this because, okay, now I'm doing this better with the people I work with. But good God, my brother, my sister, my partner, my this, my that, right? Okay, now, how do we apply it here? How do we apply it here? How do we apply it here? And what's really cool is just watching this individual walk through more and more dimensions of their life with more wholeness, with more connection, with more humanity. But the gateway was just, I'd like to be a better manager. And it brings me such joy to know how many parts of this person's life is better because we've coached together and that they stepped through this door with courage and vulnerability. And this is what's come of it.
Beautiful example.
Thank you.
Lucky coachee, lucky client. And then again, the ripple effect for that individual, right? The people that they are leading and managing, the people in their home life, community. I mean, that's why we do this.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good place to start bringing the arc to completion. For organizations who are considering investing in their people managers in coaching skills and or developing a cadre of internal coaches or bringing external coaches in, what do you want them to know about the ROI around coaching in the workplace?
Yeah. We were talking before we started recording about this being the most complex time to lead and manage through, I believe, in history. And so what I want them to know is if you don't have an investment in coaching, if you don't have an investment in coaching culture, what's your antidote to burnout? What does support look like if you don't have this? I'm not saying it's the only way. It certainly had a powerful resonant impact on me and the ripple effect that you graciously named. But what's your answer to that? Because people will not be able to continue to do this for extended periods of time. And as we discussed, and you know, I saw your affirmation, okay, I need Christy or Vimal or Sally or whoever in this seat, and I need them to be performing at a high level and accomplishing important things that make the world a better place. Besides hoping, what's my strategy? So what I'd have them hear is, if you need that person and you need that person performing at a high level, if it's not coaching, what is your response? And if you don't have anything, why not? Why not invest some time and energy in providing that support for those individuals who you need to be doing what they are doing and doing it well?
Beautiful. Such incredible wisdom from you, my friend. How can people connect to you and find your writing?
Yeah, thank you for that gracious invitation. I am very seldom on Instagram, but if you can't help yourself and you want to see some level of personal, it's VIMALSHY at Vimal Shy, my first name, the first three of my last. I am on LinkedIn most often, and you can find me there with my name, Vimal Shyamji, as well as there's a newsletter that I write approximately once a month for my coaching company called Kairos Leader. KairosLeader. And I'd love to get to know you.
Lucky people to stay connected to this coach and this fearless leader. Thank you for contributing not only to our profession, but to humanity in this important time in the very authentic and heart-centered and grounded way that you are. Just so grateful that you said yes to this conversation. It's been a pleasure to witness you flourishing over the past few years.
Thank you so much, Christy. This was a lot of fun. I really, really appreciate this conversation.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you love this episode, please subscribe, download a few more episodes, and leave a review. Also, we'd love to hear what key takeaways you had from this episode. Be sure to reach out to us on social media. You can find us by searching for Uplevel Productions or looking for our handles in the podcast description. We truly appreciate you. Thank you for coming to learn, love, and uplevel with us. Until next time.